for you and on our union with Christ. And this morning it was wonderful. The message was amazing to me. And then I woke up from my afternoon nap and I started reading the message and this isn't the message. This isn't the message. And so the Lord's confined me to this, and I do believe that you need this as much as I do. As much as I do. The all-sufficient grace of Christ. Paul said here in verse 7 of chapter 12, 2 Corinthians, he said, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. I want to bring to this message, and I do pray the Holy Spirit. I pray because it's my heart's desire that every believer who is suffering heaviness and manifold temptations, that God would, through this word, give you comfort. Isn't that our directive? Comfort ye, my people, saith the Lord. And what gives greater comfort to God's people than the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, I've got three divisions. First of all, the purpose of thorns. Paul said he was given a thorn in the flesh, and there was a reason for that. Lest I be exalted above measure, because of the abundance of revelation. Second of all, I want us to see the answer of Christ to our thorns in the flesh, which is what? My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And then the response, the answer of faith is this: I will glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So let's see these 3 points by the Lord's grace this evening. First of all, the purpose of thorns. Now, Paul was greatly blessed. We cannot deny this. Paul was greatly blessed of God. He was given such a great grace as to be an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, though he was not with the original apostles. He said he was as one born out of due season. And God, he was a hater, a blasphemer of God, a persecutor of the church. Yet God chose him to be an apostle, to be a minister of the gospel to the Gentiles. And here in our text, we see even this great blessing. In this first portion of the chapter, the apostle talks about a man. And he's talking about himself. He said, I know a man. And whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know. God knows. But Paul was exalted into the heavens. Imagine this. He didn't die to go in. Lazarus saw what was there, but he had to die. And yet the apostle Paul did not have to die. He was able to see and hear things in heaven. I don't even think we can imagine what that's like. The apostle Paul said, it's not even lawful that I should speak of what I heard. He was given such great graces. And, you read his epistles, you read what he wrote. What great knowledge and revelation that the apostle Paul was given. But because of such graces, because of such privileges that he was given of God, God also gave him a thorn in the flesh in order to keep him from pride. He said, lest I should be exalted above measure because of the abundance of revelation, because of the great grace that God has given me, because of this, so that pride should not take hold of me, God gave me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Now, some men speculate as to what this is. Some say it's a fleshly infirmity, maybe his sight or his speech. Others determine that it is because of his guilt. He was a persecutor of the church. Can you imagine the guilt of the apostle because he hailed the coat of those men that stoned Stephen to death? He was a persecutor of the church. Some say that's what it was. But really, the Word of God is silent as to what it is. We don't know what it is, if it was in the flesh or weakness in the flesh or a spiritual guilt. But I believe the Word of God is silent so that we might benefit. I ask you tonight, believer in Christ, is there any thorn in the flesh? Do you possess any thorn in the flesh? Are you afflicted in the body? Are you brought to the dust of death? Are you suffering the thorn of depression or sadness of mind? Are you suffering the thorn of despair and agony? Is your conscience afflicted and suffering because of the guilt of your sin? It's in these times, in the lowest of times. Now, we have an enemy, friends, and he is the most diabolical, and he's just sorry. He waits until the believer is at his lowest. And then what does he do? He comes in and buffets us. He's allowed to come in and beat us. Satan buffets us in our time of grief. It's then he makes accusations so as to beat our souls into the dirt. This messenger of Satan, whether he be a man, a devil, or Satan himself, he always comes to accuse us, to condemn us, to assault our souls and bring doubts and fears into our minds. It is the purpose of the enemy to always cast doubt on the perfect work of Christ. It's always his aim to separate you from Christ. To rob you of your joy. To rob you of your assurance that is in Christ. Is this your case? Has God, in divine providence, sent a thorn to and a messenger of Satan to buffet you? Now the question then comes to the believer's mind is why? Why would God allow his saints to suffer such thorns? Well, let's look again at the text and see the cause. Paul said, "Lest I be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation given to me." Have you considered the abundance of revelation that you have? Have you considered how much God has given you? How much you understand of the gospel? How that millions of people who are better than you are, millions of people who are wiser than you, more zealous than you, and yet God chose you. Consider that. So then we, like Paul, have been blessed. We have been chosen of God. We have been redeemed by the blood of the Son of God. You have been called by the Spirit of God to life and faith in Christ. And you have been kept by the power of God. Are these not great blessings? I like this in Colossians chapter 2. He says, "You are complete in Him." Is there anything greater than that? Is there anything more glorious than God would take a sinner and make him perfect? In Christ, you're perfect. In Him, you're perfect. God, what great grace God bestowed. Behold, John said, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. You're a son of God. This world doesn't know us because it didn't know Him. Beloved, now, right now, you are the sons of God. Now, when you look in the mirror, do you see a son of God? That says it doth not yet appear what we shall be. You're not going to find it. You're not going to look. You're not going to be able to see it. You're not going to be able to feel it. You know this? You are a son of God through faith. You are a son of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but he said this, when he shall appear. Wouldn't that be great if he just came right now? If he just came right now, wouldn't that be great? Because when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Consider the greatness of the mercy of God, that there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. What great grace. What great mercy has been bestowed upon you. Brethren, you have been put into union with Christ, the Son of God. You have been justified by God Himself. You have been redeemed by Christ's blood. You have been robed in the very righteousness of God. You have been called by the power of His Holy Spirit. And listen, there is nothing that will ever separate you from His love. Now, is that not a great revelation? To you that know this, is that not great? It's great. You have been given the same revelation the Apostle Paul has been given. And the Scriptures are clear of God's purpose. Even in providence, consider this revelation, that all things work together for your good. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Our Lord Jesus tells us that in the last day, well, all men will be divided into two groups. And you who are believers, you who are His sheep, shall be gathered on His right hand. And He said this, come you, what? Blessed. You're blessed. Well, I don't feel blessed. It don't matter. You're blessed. You're blessed. If you know Christ, you're blessed. There is no greater blessing. Can you think of a greater blessing? Is there anything more that you want? Paul said, I desire to be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, but the righteousness of God which is in Christ Jesus. I want to be found in Him. Why? God says you're blessed. You're blessed of the Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you before the foundation of the world. I tell you, we have abundance of revelation given to us. Abundance. Yet because, believer, though we are heirs of all things, though we have received all spiritual blessings in Christ, yet we know that we are not what we shall be. You know that? Do you know you're not what you shall be? You know that by experience, don't you? You're not what you shall be. God has ordained that you should be conformed to the image of His Son, created in you a new and holy nature. But something's wrong, isn't it? You feel something's wrong. You know what it is. You still have the old man of sin residing in you. You are a person of two natures. One created of God after true holiness, perfection that cannot sin. And yet you also possess the nature you were born with that cannot do righteousness, that can only sin. Your pastor, I've used this 100 times, if you cannot not sin. The flesh can only sin. That's all it is sin. Therefore, John says it does not appear what we shall be, because we still have this old man of sin. Paul says in Romans 7, he said, this body of death. There was a Roman torture where they would sew a corpse to the neck of the criminal, and he would carry that corpse. And that's exactly how we are. We're carrying a corpse about our neck, weighing us to the dirt. Even so, believer, we still must contend with the flesh. And because of the old nature, because the sin is still present, the apostle testifies in our text that we are capable of the most abominable sin there is. Pride. The sin the believer is most prone to is pride. Pride of grace. Pride of grace. Like the Apostle Paul, the more we see of the grace of God that shines in us, the inner man rejoices. Rejoices in Christ. We give glory to Christ. The more I see of the revelation of His grace, the more I want to rejoice in Christ. Yet at the same time, the flesh is always seeking some glory for himself. Always is prone to try to rob God of His glory. And for this reason, to keep us abased, God sends thorns in the flesh. God sends these thorns in the flesh. We are recipients of God's grace. Send these thorns that we might not be exalted above measure. In Romans 12, Paul said this, I say through the grace given me to every man that is among you, don't you think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. You should think soberly. You should think soberly, according as God dealt every man the measure of faith. Believer, have you considered what sort of people we would be had we not have these thorns in the flesh? If God left our pride unchecked, what sort of people would we be? We would be a proud people. We would be arrogant and presumptuous. Should God cease to chasten us with these thorns, the flesh surely would exalt itself and think highly of itself. We would become proud boasters as though we had some merit, though we had something to do with this righteousness that Christ has earned himself. Therefore, believer, are you pressed down? Are you pressed down by the omnipotent hand of God? I like what Newton said, wilt thou pursue this worm to death? Are you made to cling to the earth? Are you to plead for mercy and strength to continue? Is your heart so hard? Is your love so cold? Now in verse 8, the apostle, he beseeches the Lord. Look at that. He said, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. The apostle cries and he says, save me, deliver me. Didn't this sound familiar? Save me, deliver me. I sought the Lord three times for this. We often read of men pleading in Scripture. You can't look through the Psalms very long without one pleading. Go to Psalm 77. Look over there. This man Asaph, he's pleading with the Lord here. I'll give you this one example here. Asaph was pressed down beyond measure. And verse 1, he said this in Psalm 77. He said, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice. Now, silence, he could no longer keep silent. His pain was unbearable. And he said, I cried with my voice. Now listen to what he says by faith. He says, and he gave ear to me. Now, Asaph knew something of God's hearing of his saints. He said, I know he heard me. But notice this, his trouble didn't cease. In the day my trouble, I sought the Lord, and my sore ran into the night. It ceased not. And listen, my soul refused to be comforted. Now listen, he should have been comforted with this. God hears me. But even that, he said, my soul, I refused to be comforted. I remembered God, but this didn't bring any help. He said, I remembered God and I was troubled. And then what? I complained. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Now, believer, can you relate to any of that? Have you ever been so vexed and so troubled that you can't look up? Have you been cast down to the ground and brought to the dust by afflictions? Then cry to the Lord. Cry to Him with your voice. It is our privilege. Prayer is our privilege, isn't it? Cry unto Him, the apostle did, and He may deliver you. He may. He may deliver you immediately. He may raise you from a deathbed like He did Hezekiah. He may deliver you from the sword like He did David. Every believer, you know this, God is able. Is that not right? He's able to deliver you. He was able to part the Red Sea. I'm sure He can deliver us. He can deliver us out of any trouble, any difficulty, any trial, and any affliction. The arm of God is never too short to deliver you from the thorn in the flesh. Never. But what if God delays? What if God delays? What if God does not deliver you from your thorn in the flesh? We have no record of the apostle being delivered. I sought the Lord thrice. He got an answer, but it wasn't deliverance. You know that beggar Lazarus, he was never delivered, was he? He begged at that rich man's gate until he died there. God never delivered him from his poverty. We know that that man, he was God's. In Hebrews 11, it says that some saints had cruel mockings and scourgings, and moreover bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. No deliverance. No deliverance was given to these saints. See what grace of God in our afflictions, in the thorns of our flesh. For they're not meant to destroy you, friends. Even though God allows these thorns to continue, God never intends them to destroy you, but rather to draw you to Himself. To draw you. Believer, what if God willed and purposed that we should suffer these afflictions all the days of our life until we die and go into glory? What is the answer for this? What is the answer? That's the second part. Look at the answer. Look at the answer. He besought Him three times that it might depart. And what did Christ answer Him? He said this, "My grace is sufficient for thee." My grace is sufficient for thee. Now you listen, suffering saint, here is your answer. Here is the answer for every thorn in the flesh we receive. My grace is enough. My grace is sufficient for thee. Oh, back over in Psalm 77 when Asaph cried out, when he's inflicted, how did he endure trouble? He said in verse 11, "I remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old." What did he do? He remembered the grace of God. He remembered the grace of God in delivering Israel. He remembered the blood of the Lamb. He remembered the deliverance of the Red Sea. He remembered God's grace to destroy the enemies of Israel. So then, listen, in your afflictions, when you cry unto God and the heavens seem to be barred, this is what you can do. You can remember the grace of God. Do you remember the grace of God when he came to you? Do you remember the blood of the Lamb? Can you remember his blood? Can you remember the power of God, Christ, to satisfy the justice of God on your behalf? So then let us in our afflictions remember this. Our Savior said, my grace is enough. My grace is enough. It's sufficient. And so let us see the grace of Christ. Now remember his electing grace. Remember his electing grace. Brethren, how is it that you were quickened while millions never believed? Simply this. You were chosen by the grace of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. But of God are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto you wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Remember, it was the free grace of God that chose you and put you in union with Christ. Remember, by faith, it was grace that adopted you to be the sons of God. Remember, it was the grace of God who on purpose chose you to salvation. In that passage in Romans 8, it says, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them are the called according to what? His purpose. You were called on purpose. You were called on purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. As Jesus said to his disciples, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Remember this, in your affliction, in your struggle, in your grief, in your sorrow, in your pain, you were chosen of God. How? By grace. Second of all, you were redeemed by grace. You were completely, perfectly redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. In your affliction, the eternal Son of God, who was set up from eternity to be your Savior, has come and by himself redeemed you. By himself, he redeemed you. This was the purpose of God, having predestinated in love, having predestinated us on the adoption of children. How? By Jesus Christ. This was always the purpose of God, that you should be his son by Jesus Christ, that you should be holy and without blame before him by Jesus Christ. Remember the deliberate will of Christ to take you and be your surety. You see the love of grace that was manifest when Christ condescended to take on himself our nature, to be a man, that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Christ Jesus came into this world not to be an example. He didn't come to sympathize with his creatures. Rather, he came to save us from our sins. I like this in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. It says, unto us a child is born. That speaks of his humanity. Unto us a son is given. That speaks of his deity. This speaks of his work. It says, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. The church, his kingdom, he bears the full responsibility of your salvation. Isn't that liberating? Isn't that the most liberating thing? Our Lord Jesus bears complete responsibility for saving his people. The whole of our salvation rests squarely on the obedience of Christ and the perfect offering of Jesus Christ. So then, in your affliction, remember this. God chose you by grace. Remember this. Christ redeemed you by grace. remember this, when he came, he bore your sin in his own body on the tree. Do you think you suffer? Do we actually know what suffering is? I know your suffering is hard. Consider his, that he bore the wrath of God for you. He said this, is there any sorrow like unto my sorrow? Therefore, behold, the great grace of our Lord lay down his life for us. And therefore, is there any suffering? It cannot be compared to his. Now then, in your suffering, in the midst of your suffering, can you ever question his love? How can we question his wisdom who ordained our suffering? Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Don't you understand in grace he called you his friend? You are his friend. And it's manifest by his life and by his death. Therefore, by his death he hath removed our sin from us. So far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgression from. You know how far your sin is removed from you? That God himself can't see it. Is that grace? Is that not sufficient? God said it is. God said in those days, in that time, the Lord said, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none. The sin of Judah, and they shall not be found, for I will pardon whom I reserve. Behold, the great grace of Christ that hath redeemed us. Thirdly, the grace of Christ in calling us. The grace of his calling is sufficient. What this means is, it's effectual. When God called you, it was effectual to give you both life and faith in Christ. Do you have life and faith? Why is that? Because his grace is sufficient. His grace was sufficient to give you life and faith. Remember where he found you. When he called you, where did he find you? He found you in sin. He found you where he found Jacob, in a desert, in a waste howling wilderness. He led you about and instructed you and kept you as the apple of his eye even before he called you. And then in grace he called you and gave you faith. You know, most people believe faith is something that anyone can do. In fact, it is only something God can give. That's it. Do you believe? Have you considered what great grace it is that you believe? For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, was there anything to resist that command? No. When God said, let there be light, there was what? Light. And when God said, let there be faith, there was what? Faith. Faith. He called you. Listen, he called you. Even you. Even me. What great grace. And fourthly, his grace is a keeping grace. His grace is a keeping grace. He said, he doesn't say my grace was sufficient. He says my grace is sufficient. Ever presently sufficient. Todd, why are you still here? His grace is sufficient. Why are you still here? I mean, this stuff you've heard before. You've heard this before. Why are you not bored? Why do you just not leave? His grace is sufficient. And this stuff is new every minute. I need him more. I need more grace now than I ever did before. I need him more. I need to hear more of His grace. Why do you suppose that is? Because I'm kept. I'm kept by the power of God, Peter said. You're kept. Have you ever tried to keep yourself? How does that work out? It always ends up worse for me. When I try to keep myself from something, usually end up into something worse. But you know what? I'm kept by the power of God. And His grace is sufficient to keep me for eternity. For eternity. And then I want you to see this last thing. The answer of faith. The answer of faith. Jesus said, my grace is, my electing grace is sufficient. My redeeming grace is sufficient. My calling grace is sufficient. My keeping grace is sufficient. And he says, for, because my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now we know this. We do not make Christ's strength perfect. His strength is always perfect. Our weakness does not make His strength perfect. Our weakness manifests the perfection of His strength. Why do you think He gives you the thorn in the flesh? To humble you and show you your weakness, lest you should be exalted above measure. Your weakness. Do you know how weak you are? Do you think you found the bottom of your weakness? Not as long as we're on this earth. But God uses our weakness to manifest the strength of Christ. I'll tell you this, friends. I know this. If I make it to glory, it's because He carried me. We didn't walk hand in hand. He didn't help me along. He didn't give me a pat and a push. He carried me. He carried me. Other gods need to be carried. Isn't that right? I think Isaiah 45, he talks about those gods. He said, those gods, they weigh down the beasts. They need to be carried. My God don't need me to carry Him. My God carries me. And the further I go, the more I find my weakness. But I also see this. His strength. Therefore, I would rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I pray that if you have been in these thorns of flesh, that God would give you an understanding as to why you have them, lest you should be exalted above measure. And when God doesn't relieve you, this is His answer. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect, manifest perfectly through your weakness. May God give us such grace as to glory in our infirmities. You know, it takes the grace of God, doesn't it? Can you honestly say you glory in your infirmities? May God help us to glory in our infirmities so that Christ may be exalted. I pray God help you.